So we're going to go ahead and get started. We are on a completely different path now, people. So you're going to be, I love this quote. It's it really spoke to me. I think all of us have been in this place at one time or another. It says, breathe. And that is so very important, people. Breathe is something that even special forces, they go through a special course on how to manage their breathing. Because when you breathe, you calm your body down, you calm your mind down, you get into the moment of what you're doing. And it's a very powerful coping mechanism that God has given us for people that endure greatly with anxiety and depression and all of that. One of the things that they're taught is the breathing techniques that they have that causes you to relax. So this one says breathe. So you're going to be okay. Breathe and remember that you've been in this place before. And this is specifically speaking to anybody that's going through a hardship right now, if you're going through a challenge right now. This is something that I felt led to put to encourage you and for you to see your own progress. Amen? So you've been in this uncomfortable and anxious and scared. You've been this uncomfortable and anxious and scared, and you've survived. You're here tonight because tonight shows you you're a survivor. You've made it this far. You are overcoming. Every day is a day for overcoming. Amen? So anxious, scared, and you've survived. Breathe and know that you can survive this too. Whatever you're going through, any challenges, even if you're just lacking hope and energy and you feel like you're constantly fatigued, whatever it is, breathe and know that you can survive this too. These feelings can't break you. That's something so important for women to realize, is that feelings cannot break us. Amen. They're very powerful, and they can certainly break you if you let them. But feelings in and of themselves cannot break you. They're painful and draining, but eventually they will pass. Maybe not immediately, but sometime soon. They are going to fade, and when they do, you look back at this moment and laugh for having doubted your resilience. If you have made it this far, you're resilient. You are an overcomer. We need to look at things as they are. That's a fact. You have overcome all this time. I know it feels unbearable right now, but keep breathing again and again. With each breath, you are outlasting this time of trial. This time will pass. God will help you, and so it won't stay forever. Amen? God does not want this thing to be on you forever. It's a very temporary thing. Glory to God. Nothing in this world compares with the joy of knowing God loves you. If we have taught you anything at all, if God has been able to show you anything at all, if you need to know anything to keep going forward one step in front of the other in this lifetime, is that God loves you. And you need to have that knowledge. People, I have overcome the most astronomical challenges. We don't even tell you a tenth of the things that we overcome, the things that we go through. But what always helps me is right in the middle of the trial. I could be in the middle of a temptation. I could be in the middle of sin, anything, which we all partake of. And all I have to say is, Lord, you love me. You love me, Lord. And I instantly am able to snap out of whatever I'm going through. Amen. And certainly it warms our hearts when we're nice and peaceful just to know, Father, you love me. You love me, Father. Everything you're doing is for me because you love me. Amen. So nothing will feel better than that. I'm telling you, the comfort, the joy that our eternal God, the creator of everything, loves you. He loves us. Amen. Praise God. God is sending us this message. You're ready for this. You're going to hear some very strong things tonight. You're going to get challenged. But that's the only way we're going to grow. We've got to be stretched, people. When we stretch, we go on to the next level. Amen? So this message is coming from God. Why? Because we're running out of time. Even if for some reason the Lord doesn't come in our lifetime, We are running out of time. The rapture could happen, people. Nobody knows when the rapture is going to happen. But we're getting closer beyond a shadow of any doubt. Just today I heard this one man from a very, very strong, violent religion say that he has bumped the Pope, he has bumped Jesus Christ, he is bumping the Bible because he is the Messiah. He is the Savior, and we are all going to bow to him. And he's gaining a tremendous amount of following. So we are running out of time. That's part of the end times signs, is that all these false prophets and Christs are going to start rising up. Well, they have been, but now it's more. So tell yourself, I am running out of time. Because that's the truth. There is a sense of urgency, but there isn't a sense of anxiety. There's a difference, people. Sometimes when I have to get things done, I'm under a sense of urgency. That means I better set a nice little pace and keep going till I get it done. Because there's a time element involved. It's a sense of urgency, or it's important. I need to do this right now. This is important. So we're in a place of urgency, amen? Not anxiety, not fear. If you're going to fall apart because, oh my God, Pastor Eva said, we're running out of time. You're not hearing me. All of us, every single one of us, the strongest believer on the planet, is under a sense of urgency, amen? And again, not anxiety. You're not going to get anything accomplished if you become fearful, if you do things out of stress and because somebody's pressuring you to do it. No, put your hand to the plow and keep going forward. The next is, this is it. God told me that. He said, Eva, this is it. This is it for them. Now is your time. If you're going to get this right with the Lord, it has to be done now and daily. Now, please listen to me. This is the time for us to get this right. Right now, today, you're doing the right thing. We've got 17 people on right now. I'm believing God to the biggest number yet. I am. I want more people to hear what God has to say. We've got to get ready. Amen? And so it has to be done now and daily. You can take steps forward into what God needs you to do on a daily basis. Nobody on this planet can tell me, I'm too busy, you don't understand my life, I am very distressed, I'm very anxious, I've checked out, I'm in sin. Nobody can tell me anything and tell me it can't be done, Pastor Eva. There's no way that I can do this every day. First of all, if you even say that to me, I, in love, will tell you your priorities are off. This is go time. This is important. This is the time that if we're going to do it, this is now. And then it is in the new creation that we will experience covenant with God unleashed in every way. We're going to talk a lot about the new creation because that's what we're supposed to be now. Amen? And it is my job. The Lord told me, ladies, I thank you so much for trusting me. I thank you so much, even the men that have shown up. I thank you so much that you are trusting me because what he is going to have me teach is the high value Proverbs woman. And I can tell you that I'm in that path. I'm teaching you something that I have taught myself that the Holy Spirit literally, talk about forced evolution. He's like, if you're going to lead, you got to be this. And this was like 15 years ago. And I really set myself to learn because I want to lead you right. I want to be an example to you. Amen. And, you know, I've got eternities to go. But dear God, I've got a hold of this thing and I am so excited and I am so at peace because God has taught me so many things of what gives value to a woman. And ladies, we are no less important than a man. We have no less spiritual power for sure than a man. But in God's system, everybody has their place. Amen. So you have to understand. Right now, we're teaching the men, in the relationship seminar, but you're coming up next and soon. In fact, this is part of it. Me showing you the steps that we're to take to become daughters of God is something that we're all going to have to do anyway. We're just going to have to do it. The reward is here on this lifetime, on this side of heaven. You're not going to get rewarded for growing and changing astronomically, especially when you see God and the Holy Spirit in person. It's by faith that we're doing these things and now. Amen? So, we must decide, the last point is we must decide if we are in or out of the path of the true believer. Make the choice. Why live in a duality? Why live in this psychotic way where one day we're all holy and good and everything went well, thank God, I did everything right, thank you, Lord, or we become that. We are that. Amen? So there's a big difference. And we're going to talk about this so much, and then it's going to become second nature to you. Well, you'll say to yourself, oh, that was the fallen nature. Oh, that was God in me. Amen? Glory to God. So remembering, I sent you the notes. I hope you read them. Number one, God wants you free. You have to be free. Why? If you are free, you can choose. Isn't that marvelous? And you can say to yourself, oh, I'm choosing. Oh, I'm free. But our lives reflect the truth. A slave is not free. A slave cannot choose. A slave is under domination. The old man is completely a slave of Satan and sin, which is why it is intensely critical and completely to your advantage to transform into the new creation. Only the new creation is free. I'm going to say that again. You may be calling the shots right now, here and there. You make decisions. I want this. I want to buy that. I want to go here. I want to live there. I want to dress like this. You may be making those kinds of decisions. But real freedom is only going to come and happen for you in the new creation. Why? Because before that, we're contaminated. We're contaminated by the world, by Satan, by sin, by weakness, by feebleness, by selfishness, narcissism, all of that. So our real, it's like you're climbing, 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 and you think you're living life, and you push into the things of God, and you trust your teachers, you trust certainly the Word of God, first and foremost. You trust the Holy Spirit. You trust the Father and His loving, guiding hand. Jesus, who gave His life for you, you trust all of that. And then all of a sudden, you break into this whole other level. And you are like, oh my God. Oh my God, I am so free. Father, I am free to choose life or death, blessing or cursing. To flourish or perish. You are free to choose your reactions. You are free to choose who you're going to be in God. Freedom. Only the new creation can change. And if you're listening to me, you are wise enough to know I've got to change. That's why you showed up. A lot of people that don't show up to teachings like this or Wednesdays or Sundays or whatever are people that don't have any idea how much they need to change. When we know we need to change, we show up. We want help. We want guidance. I have sat under Pastor. I am his first disciple. And what you see in me, the reality of my walk, the fruit of my labor, all of it, is coming from sitting under a very powerful ministry that doesn't play games and is ready to show up in front of God and give an account for what he did with God's people. Amen? So only the new creation can change. We are kidding ourselves, and I'm going to so explain this to you. We are kidding ourselves if we think we can change on our own. It won't last. It won't be real. It will be an awesome attempt on your part to be different, maybe to be more of a Christian, to be a disciple of the Lord. But only the new creation can change. In fact, you get to be the new creation because you've been changing and changing and changing. Only the new creation can change and go from glory to glory. I'm experiencing some things right now spiritually that are blowing me away, people. They are blowing me away. And God walks this walk with me. I am not alone, and He speaks to me very naturally. And I know that He's doing something inside of me to stretch me spiritually for the next level, for what's coming. Becoming the new creation is what ratifies, it proves that you are saved. If you are still the same as you were 10 years ago, I would really, truly, honestly ask myself. I've asked myself, Eva, are you really born again? Is this real to you? Are you just faking it till you make it? No, we've got to ask ourselves, am I truly saved? Because if I am saved, then I am on my way to becoming the new creation. And that new creation, especially with the slant of the female version of mankind, is what I'm going to be teaching the ladies. This is what the new creation looks like. Tremendous forces. Tremendous power. But it's real. It's coming from the Holy Spirit that's active and alive in you in His ministry. Amen? Number two, you become His child when we choose Christ and the new birth. As His child, you are now to identify completely. Say that with me. Identify completely as His daughter or His son. Your identification with your old man needs to be put away. It stinks. The old man stinks in the nostrils of the holy God. The old man is, remember that belly button watching little figure that I used to do in swords where I would show you a person, you know, looking down at their belly button and that's all they were consumed in? That's what happens when we are self-consumed. And you're either becoming the new creation or you're still very, very consumed in your life. Pastor Eva, I'm busy. I've got 5 kids. Pastor Eva, I got to work to put food on the table. Pastor Eva. I have roughly 130 kids. Plus 2 with my son and daughter. And my grandchild. I've had to work out there in the secular world several times to help out. I helped run at least half the ministry, as Pastor will tell you, putting on camps, marriage counseling, everything we could to feed the people. And if I was able to do it, you can do it. We're going to get challenged, but you're good for it. God keeps telling me, Eva, be brave. They're ready for this. So I am going to trust God that you are ready for this. Amen. So as His child, you are now to identify completely as His child, as His daughter. Your identification with your old man needs to be put away. Bury that sucker once and for all. You're brand new. You have a new parent. You have a new family. Do not feel that you are deserting or betraying your parents. A lot of people get all tangled up when I talk this way. I have scriptures, people that'll curl your hair if it was straight. Because Jesus put the perspective of family in such a way that, dear God, it's not nearly what we think it is, but we're consumed by it. It's handed down generation to generation. All there is family. No, there isn't. All there is God. And then you'll have a great family. You know, no, we got to stay together. We got to huddle. Nobody can move out. No, nobody can do this. Nobody can do that. We're family. We got to stick together. No, we don't. Where is God? And we feel we're betraying our parents when we hear, you know, what they were your earthly caretakers. God appointed them for you to come through their lineage. And while you were a child and as you were growing up some, they were there to help you survive and make it and hopefully teach you things. But once you are born again, God becomes your father. And your family must also one day change identities as well to being a child of God. In other words, your mom and your dad should have done the same thing. They should have made God their father. They wouldn't feel bad at all. Once they've made God their father, they wouldn't feel bad at all. They want you to make God your father. Because that's where it's at, people. This thing has to be real to you now. Is God real to you? If he is, then let him take his place as your beloved father. Amen. Matthew 10:37. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves, and he who I, excuse me, he who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. There is no one on this planet that you should be loving more than God, or you are not worthy of him. I can't do that. My baby's a toddler. They're precious. I love them. They do the cutest things, and I'm always with them because they're little. In the midst of all that, you can take moments when you talk to the Father, when you love the Father, where you give the Father his place as your true Father. That child wouldn't be in your arms if it weren't for God. Becoming a new creation and finding the rightful place for your parents is in your life is of the utmost importance to you because there's a lot of bondage that comes with family, people. God wants you free. Number one, this will cut off generational curses, diseases, and destinies, etc. You know how many parents have told their kids what they're going to be, what they're going to do? Really, honestly, only God should be telling them that because he knows what he put in them, as well as us. You know, Bill is brilliant. And it was so cute. We came back from Europe and my dad would cut out little articles, you know, advertisements for teachers because, you know, we went in the area of education at UCI. And the same thing for me. And he would always tell me, Mija, you guys are so intelligent. You guys are so talented. You need to start being teachers. What are you doing? What are you doing? And thank God that we didn't listen to either side of families because God has our destiny that we are to fulfill. Amen. Talk about diseases, genetic dispositions that come from there, generational curses. When you begin to break away from this huge rubber band that holds us to our earthly family, and I don't mean people, please. I don't mean don't visit them, don't talk to them, don't love them, disrespect them. They're nothing. Never will you ever, ever hear me say that. We are to love and respect them, but you are to put it in the perspective of there is God and then my parents. Right now, for the most part, because of the way we're living, it shows it's our parents. And somewhere in here, after our kids, somewhere in here, after our jobs, somewhere in there, God is coming. Remember, we're running out of time. It's time to speak the truth and get it together. Amen? The next thing is this will begin the process of true freedom for you. Again, you know, growing up, There was a lot of programming. There was a lot of expectations. There was a lot of things put on us as family. Oh, you're the smart one. Oh, you're not the smart one. Oh, you're the pretty one. You're not so pretty. Oh, you're going to go far. You know, poor little thing. This guy's not going to make it very far. That's why God needs us free people, because you'll never hear God say that to you. Not ever. Not ever. To him, each and every one of us is astounding, beautiful, powerful, amazing, gifted. This will bring in the process of healing from all the past and ongoing traumas. We're going to talk about traumas here and there. We got to put those things in perspective. We've all gone through traumas. God has a way of healing traumas. We use trauma sometimes, not always, and I have compassion for all of us that have them. But sometimes we use them as little badges. Look at what I went through. This is why I am the way I am. And this is, you know, this person just keeps hurting me and so on. God wants you free. You will finally dump the labels and finally own your own life and person. I heard so many labels growing up, even from extended families. There were some aunts and uncles that, you know, said things over me and pronounced things over me. And I'm like, really? Me? You know, things that were, some of them were not very good, you know, and some of them were very precious, you know, like, I had one aunt that really loved me, and she was like, you're the best in your family. No, I wasn't. And to be honest with you, that added a lot of pressure to me. So we get rid of the labels that people impose on us, good or bad. Amen? Why don't we let God tell us who we are? He's going to tell you the truth, and it's going to be beautiful for you. Under the picture, I will know the truth, and the truth will set me free. This is what this is about, people. I'm going to start bringing you the truth, the meat that we have. I have been not wanting to offend. I have been trying to walk on eggshells. I've been trying to be gentle with you. I'm not going to stop being gentle, but I'm going to tell you the truth now, amen, because that's what's going to set us free. And in this freedom, I will find myself. You got to be free to find out who you really are. Amen? People sometimes want a new life, or they want to start over. Well, the truth is, you get that chance every day. So then, are you simply choosing not to change things? Isn't that powerful? I've said that to God, I don't know how many times. Lord, can I just start over, please? Please, Father. And then sometimes we want a new life. Couldn't I have been born into that family or done this in my life? Well, the truth is, you get that chance every day. I love that. With God, every single time you wake up in the morning, it's a brand new day with Him. The past cannot be changed. When are we going to believe that? For those of us that are carrying the wounds and the traumas and the we've tied ourselves with chains to a lot of bondage, please understand, you're looking at someone who's about to be 73 years old. Almost all my life has been dedicated to serving God, even as a kid. When I was 13, I started helping the nuns in the Catholic Church. Taught catechism, was in the choir, took off to the convent, came out, took a mini detour, married the man of my destiny, and we've been serving God now for going on 46 years, maybe even longer. We forget sometimes. We're pushing 50, that's for sure. And I can tell you right now, if you can believe one thing that I can tell you, is that you'll never change the past. So why live in the past? Why live in the past? Some people live in the past for the good old days, the glory days. Oh, man, I was the chick in school, man. I was a cheerleader. Oh, man, I was so awesome. Oh, man, I was a party girl. Oh, man, I was very popular. Oh man, everybody loved me. Why are we living in the past? You can't change it, people. You're not going to change it. So stop living in the past. Close that chapter, because it is only the future that's in your power. You only have the ability to change your future. Amen? So let's follow God. He moves forward. He does not look back. How often has God reminded you of some memory and said, you poor thing, I saw when that happened. When? That's impossible. God does not do that. He said the end of a thing is better than its beginning. God's always pushing forward because he knows that's a waste of time. It's already recorded. It's a fact. It happened. Next, the key to change is to let go of fear. Time to let go of the fear. If we can't trust God in this change journey that we're in, then we're in a lot of trouble. Because that means you don't trust God and you think he's going to make you change in a bad way or hurt you or something like that. God's going to cause you to change. Oh my God, I'm just going to wait on that one because I have some scriptures that are too much. They're too much. So the next one is, change is a process. Going back to the one before that, the key to change is to let go of fear. I'll be honest with you, it takes courage. It takes courage for a little worm to go up on a branch, cover itself in a self-made grave, a little coffin, and go in there and trust that it's going to emerge something in like 100 times better than the worm. It takes courage. You can't be afraid. In some degree, and I say this with great humility, people, if you're going to sit under my ministry, the ministry God has given me to teach women, then you're going to be virtuous women. You will become virtuous women. And that means war-worthy, strong, honorable, dignified. That's what we are supposed to be. Not, I don't want to show up because there's a lot of pressure to change. And I don't even know what I'm doing. That's why I'm here to help you. Amen. Glory to God. Change is a process, not an event. We've been ruined by technology. We think we've read an article because we read the first 3 lines. Oh, yeah, I got that. Next. And we rapid read, we speed read things, we watch things, videos, links. We are losing the art of sitting our little butts down and reading and understanding and devouring that information and saying, you know what? I'm going to be this. It's going to be a process for you. That's why we've got to get started today. Today, April 25th, you've started your journey. Mark that somewhere. Tattoo it to your forehead. April 25th. Amen, Pastor. 2025, you started your journey. So it's going to be a process. And again, God has provided for you himself, his word, his wisdom, the Holy Spirit, Jesus, who gave us life for you. And, you know, he's our bridegroom, people. And then the Holy Spirit, the teacher of the church, the Spirit of truth, amen? All of that. And then Pastor Eva. And of course, Pastor Bill first, and then Pastor Eva. I'm here to help you get it done, but it's a process. Don't think, oh, this is boring. You know, she's talked about this twice now. I want to move on. Because that's what technology has done to us. We have become channel changers in our head. It's like, okay, 5 minutes, I'm done, over, this is it. Move on. Next, if it doesn't challenge you, it won't change you. And I'm going to challenge you. I am going to challenge you. I'm going to be your drill sergeant. I'm going to be your coach. And hopefully you're going to say, you know what, that's what I'm looking for. Amen. If it doesn't challenge you, it won't change you. You need to stretch yourself for the next level. And you will be stretched. By these teachings that God has given me, you will be stretched. But guess what? If you don't stretch, you stay the same. And many times, we not just only stay the same, we start going backward. This is a climb. We're climbing to the higher ground. Amen? And we're going to be stretched. We have to be stretched. And you know how we're going to get stretched? Not by some calamity that, oh my God, I want to quit, but I can't. They need me or I need me. And no, you're going to get stretched through the word of God. That's what's going to do surgery in all of us. Amen? It's time to carve out those little crevices that we've kept hidden to ourselves that we think nobody can see except God can see everything. He knows what's in there. In Samuel, he said, the heart is the most wicked above all. You know, our hearts need to be exposed. Our hearts need to be cleaned. Until we die to the old, we cannot become the new. This is so powerful, people. Because as believers, as Christians, as children of God, we must go from the old man to the new creation. We must. There's no way around it. And then the next is the secrets of change is to focus all your energy, not on fighting the old, but on building the new. Now, this is where you're going to have to walk in love with me. I didn't even think about it on this level until I read it over and over before tonight. And the Holy Spirit shared this with me. First of all, I know how I went at this. For the first 20 years of my life, I nearly killed myself. Nearly killed myself trying to be the real thing. Trying to be the new creation. Trying to be the Proverbs 31 woman. I memorized that thing. I tried so hard to be a new creation by fighting the old nature. Fighting it. Eva, you can't think that thought. Eva, you just yelled at somebody. Eva, you can't you're being harsh. Eva, it was nonstop, 24/7, fighting the old nature in me. Can somebody say amen? It's tiring to keep fighting who you are on the inside. That's not how we're going to change. It took a brilliant moment when God said, hey, Eva. I can't whistle. Pastor, can you whistle?
No.
Oh, he has this cute whistle. God literally whistled at me, got my attention. Well, not literally, but he got my attention and he said, hey, Eva, look over here. Look at what this is saying to you. And it was a description of how I'm supposed to be now. It was like such an aha moment. Instead of self-recrimination, self-condemnation, self-judgment, guilt and shame, because, oh my God, when am I going to be the real thing? When am I going to get it right? And it wasn't until I started looking, oh my God, this is what God says about me? This is what I am now? And it started blowing my mind. It's almost like like this new identity started forcing itself on me. And I was like, oh my God, I understand God. I'm not going to change by focusing all my attention on the old. It's like, you got to get rid of that. Oh my God, the word says I got to have this. No. Look at what you're supposed to become, which is why I'm here. I have been doing this research, people, probably from the moment I got born again. Because I saw dichotomies. I saw contradictions in ministers. Remember, Pastor and I, when we first got born again, we were already born again. But when we started ministry, we started going to a lot of ministers' conventions, trying to learn. All we learned was what not to be. There were very few examples out there for us, probably aside from Lester Sumrall and Kenneth Hagin. I used to love this woman minister. Love this woman minister. I would look at how she, because I went to all their conventions, and she would wear, literally, they admitted this, $3,000 to $5,000 dresses every time she taught, or every time she went up on stage with her husband. I thought she was the most beautiful, the most feminine, the most godly, the most awesome, powerful woman of God. And I told myself, you're going to be just like her. Look at her and see what she's like. Even the way she would move when she was teaching. Oh, I got to be that. That's the successful woman of God. Until one day, they were on TBN. And her and her husband were hosting. This is a huge ministry. This was like maybe 15 years later after the first time I saw her and I decided to be her. This is my role model. And then something happened that absolutely destroyed my world. And what happened was they were the MCs for the night. And he asked her, do you have anything to share? And she said, well, yes. And she opened up her Bible. And I mean, I was on the edge of my seat. Oh my God, my famous person here in Christianity. And I want to be just like her. So let me see what she has to say. And she started sharing, right? But you could tell she was off. I'd never seen her like this. But this was 15 years later. You would have thought she would have gotten so much better. But no. All of a sudden, he interrupts her in his enthusiasm, and she turns around, and in front of the entire world, because this TBN is everywhere in the world, and she says, I was not done. And the way she said it, people, curdled my blood, because I'm like, shoot, that sounds like me. I was blown away. And then shortly after, we found out a lot of things were going on in their family that was not good. And we started departing from that ministry because we want to go from glory to glory. We need that, Bill and I. And the thing is that we, in my eyes, this person was growing, growing, growing. This is real. This is powerful. This is awesome. Oh my God. And that's not true. And to this day, every once in a while, I verge out, give the person the benefit of the doubt, Eva. You're nobody's judge. And I'm not. But I can certainly look at her actions. And not much has changed. Gotten a little squirrely, in fact. So what we're going to do, people, is we're going to build on the new. What does God say about us? What is real? What can we truly attain to? What is our territory of growth in the Word of God? Amen? Praise God. Romans 6:5. For see? It's the Holy Spirit. This is what He gave me, and I need you to walk in love with me because of what I'm going to say. In my quest to grow and become, there's a thing that came up on the screen. In my quest to grow, I have done so much research on the brain, on neuroscience, on psychology, on life coaching, on narcissism, on traumas, on mental issues, the unhealthy mind, patterns of behavior, toxic thoughts, you name it, I have studied it. And guess what I have learned? That when we go, and this is where you walk in love with me, you do you. I am not a dictator. I'm not ever going to check up on you. This is between you and God. But I am telling you that in all my search of trying to find, I've gone to the best pastors for counseling and came out even worse. What I am telling you right now is that when you go to a life coach, when you go to a psychologist, when you go and try to get healed from traumas, it is completely unfruitful. The reason it's so popular is because it allows you to open up your heart to someone that's neutral, hopefully, and someone that is not going to stop you or condemn you or say, wow, you did that or anything. Sometimes they'll try to help you to do what's right. But I have found so hundreds of people that frequent life coaches, psychologists, psychiatrists, you know, counselors, all these things, and not a thing changes. You know what changes? Is that we end up understanding what happened to us. And that is good. You're like, wow, so I was a victim of trauma. Yes, that's true. They will help you find out what happened. But guess what? They can't erase what happened. They're not going to take away what happened. And all this, you know, I could write books on narcissism until the day came when God said, you know, you're all narcissists. And I said, what? God, no, God, I've been studying people that are horrific. They're so narcissistic. They're so toxic. They're so self-involved and self-importance. And he said, all of you are like that to the degree that you're not walking in love. He said, only love heals narcissism. You can't really heal narcissism in any of us. What I have learned is this, people, that there is no change from any expert in this world because they are just men and women like you. The highest suicide rate is amongst psychiatrists. Can somebody explain that to me? They are just men. They are just women. Yes, they're trying to help, but they don't have the power of God. Only God can help us change. You're going to spend a lot of time still pursuing the answers. Oh, and that person's narcissistic. I can identify him now. I'm going to stay away from them. I'm going to protect them. Oh, that person over there, they've got toxic thoughts. I don't want to be around them. They're going to get on me. Yes, you're going to go through a full circle and come right back to God and say, God, all of this knowledge. In fact, I'm hearing Ecclesiastes over and over and over again. And you know what Solomon said, the smartest, most intelligent, and wisest man on the planet? He said that much learning creates harm. It creates grief. So all this learning about the mind and about this and about that, I started quieting down and going back to God, and the change started happening rapidly. Rapidly. How does it help me to understand why that person is narcissistic? I got to find the narcissism in me. I got to find the toxic thoughts in me. I got to change my nature in me. Those people are taking, man, I know people that have spent, oh, so much money. A lot of people. And the whole thing is, no, it was very good for them. Of course it is. To be able to unload finally to someone that's neutral, that'll keep it a secret, is very, very powerful. But it does not bring change. Only God can help you forgive those people that hurt you. Only God can cause you to reboot your life and start going forward. Only God. If you don't believe me, keep going in the direction you're going, and you're going to be focusing all your energy on the old and not the new. My job is to intercept that like a good, is it a quarterback or whatever? In football, my job is to stop the enemy from keeping you in the hamster wheel and turn you around to God, where you can see God and God can begin to show you who you are. You don't have to believe me, people. I love you. I love you and I'm here to help. But I am telling you that people that have gone to these experts, there's no change at all, at all. Other than they feel better. Somebody heard me and they understood me. But why can't we do that with God? Honestly, people, why can't we go to God? Can you think of a better life coach? Can you think of a better helper and aid than the Holy Spirit? So you do what you need to do. I'm just telling you that we've got to start focusing on the new. What am I supposed to be? Let go of everybody. Oh my gosh. I've shared with you and I'm just being led here. You know, the whole intimate thing was a nightmare for me. Growing up, molested at 3 years old, molested at 4 years old. It was just constantly an awful thing for me. I had experiences with terrible things. Grown men, you know, just rubbing up against me as a little teenager and being freaked out and disgusted and all. It was always so ugly. I get married to a person, not Bill, another person. This is my second marriage. And this person is a total deviant. He's sexually out there. Freaked my brain out, this person and what they wanted to do. They were very worldly. I wasn't Christian. He wasn't Christian, you know. And finally, long story short, he ends up having an affair with a barmaid and the marriage is over, blah, blah, blah. I meet Bill and I'm trying to talk to God. God, I don't want to go. I don't want to get married again. I don't want to have to deal with the whole sex thing. It's disgusting. I've had nothing but horrible experiences. It's not a good thing for me. Do I need to do that? Can't I just become a nun again and go back in the convent and serve you there? And then God told me, he said this to me. He said, no, believe that you are healed. Bill needs you. And another time, right before we got married, Bill and I in Spain, he said, Eva, I know what happened to you. He said, but are you going to blame Bill for what all those idiots did to you in the past? Now you may think, I've had horrible experiences, worse than you, Pastor Eva. And no way am I going to be able to change with God telling me that. What you don't understand, my sister, is that when God speaks to you like that, his words carry the power to completely sever you from that evil memory. Long story short, my husband and I had a wonderful marriage. Wonderful. And it didn't take me 5 years of going to counseling. He cut it off. With the power of his words, he freed me. He released me from that horrible memory. I have to really concentrate to remember anything. Romans 6:5. For if we have been united, the word if, you've got to ask yourself this, people. If we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. What does this mean? That means, I'm going to read to you a scripture right now that says that we're literally to be dead now. We're dead men. Dead to our old lives. Dead to our old ways. Dead to all of it. Because we've been given a new life. And if you can relate to Christ on the fact that we've died with him, symbolically for us. Look at this woman before the cross. She's got to go through that cross. And she's got to say to herself, like that worm going into that cocoon, I'm going to trust God and the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to take this leap of faith, this brave moment, and I'm going to go into the spirit realm and say, Father, here I am. I am ready to die to the old man, to the old life, to the old memories, to the old weaknesses and feebleness, and to the old character that I have. I am ready to die to all that so that I can be raised together with you. Not only now in this lifetime, people, but also in the last day when the trumpet calls. Everybody that thinks they're going is not all going, people. This is so important. If we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him. We don't teach this. We say, you want to get born again? You get to go to heaven, and God will bless you, and he'll heal you, and he'll give you money. You will prosper with God. And we use it like we're salespeople. We're supposed to be telling people that our old man died that day. When you prayed right now with me, your old man died. You just entered into a whole new life. That our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin or Satan, for he who has died has been freed from sin. You may be sitting there saying, I never sin. I stay out of sin all the time. Well, you just sinned by lying. We all sin. Not only that, if you're ever fearful, if you don't believe the things I'm teaching you right now, all of this, I'm telling you, it's a sin. Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. Say that with me. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. We've been crucified. We've been crucified. The day you got born again, you went on that cross. You died. But some of you keep reviving yourselves over and over again. I'm not ready. I don't want to. What? I have to walk in love with that person? Oh my God, I have to go to church? I've got too many things to do. I ain't got time for that. Glory to God. We're almost done for today. Daughter of the King, child of God, woman of faith. God calls it an evil heart of unbelief when we refuse his words to us. An evil heart of unbelief is one of the gravest sins of all. When we refuse to believe that God is our Father, he is your Father. You came from God. God created you. You came from God, and to God you will return. When we refuse to believe that God is our Father, that we are brand new. You are brand new. You have nothing to do with the past. Let me ask you something. Does a dead person cuss anybody out? Does a dead person have any toxic thoughts? Does a dead person scream and yell and have fits? Does a dead person have road rage? Does a dead person have evil thoughts? We're dead. We're dead. We're supposed to be walking away from all of that now. It's a process. It's going to take some time to deprogram yourself because we're so used to just doing whatever we want. We let our thoughts run rampant. Oh, we fantasize, we dream, we think. Oh, look at that guy. Oh, look at that girl. Oh, look at that house. Oh, look at that car. We're dead. What, Pastor Eva, are you trying to tell me I can't live anymore? I'm trying to tell you, you need to go on the cross and then let God show you how to live. We have a counterfeit life going that we think is magnificent. And we stamp God's approval. Look at what God did when God had nothing to do with it. God does things very differently, people. Completely the opposite from the world. So when we refuse to believe that God is our Father, that we are brand new, that we are a brand new, beautiful creation, that our identification is with this glorious King of Kings, then our heart is evil and full of unbelief. I'm trying to tell you, I've been trying to teach you, oh my God, all those years in all the churches that we've been in, I have been trying to show you what we are supposed to be now. How is your progress? How much have you changed? How much have you grown? I've taught you about the fallen Eve, the worldly Eve, and then the born again Eve. I've taught you about the mind, the toxic thoughts, the evil thoughts. I've taught you about where's your identification? Who are you? I've taught you so many things. How much of that have we believed? How much of that have we really changed? Hebrews 3:12. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief and departing from the living God. If you cannot believe the scriptures that I'm sharing with you, that's an evil heart, my sister. And it's something you need to deal with if you're going to continue with Christ. Remember what we were told? It's now. This is it. This is your time. If you're going to change, you're going to change now. Not wait for tomorrow. Not wait for it's a better day. Go through that cross. Nail your body on that cross and say, today, Father God, I consider myself dead. Dead to my ways, dead to my past, dead to my traumas, dead to my excuses, dead to all of it, Father. And I'm going now after the new. Refusing to believe causes us to depart from God. That's why people come and go from church. I would never, ever, 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 ever think of walking away from church. Not ever. There is no excuse in heaven. To this day, when we go on vacation, which we hardly ever do now, we're back teaching on Sunday. There's no excuse. Oh, I want 2 or 3 weeks of vacation. We would depart from the living God when we refuse to believe, like this scripture is telling us. We're soldiers. How many soldiers do you know of that join up in the service of our country, in our case, in the service of our Father, of God, and then say, you know what? I know we've got training tomorrow. I'm going AWOL. I want 2 or 3 weeks of vacation right now. Who would do that? But we do it. We don't consider it nothing to walk away from God for 2 or 3 weeks, you know, not get in the word, not hear any messages. We're dead to the selfishness, people. We have a brand new life to live. And people, it is so glorious. I can promise you this because it's almost time to stop. Everything I ever wanted, everything I ever dreamt of is here now in my life. In the most peaceful, elegant, simple way. Why? Because I'm doing it God's way, finally. Not Eva's way. I've done everything wrong, my sisters. I am honest about myself. I did everything wrong, thinking I was doing everything right. And when my family had those two meetings with me that lasted over 3 hours. It was during menopause. I have that little excuse going. But I was a disaster. Oh, I was a little bee on wheels. I'm sorry, I was. Like most women do. And it wasn't until they told me, this is what you're doing to us. This is the effect you're having on us. I was sobbing so hard because I'm thinking, I'm going to kill myself. I'm not kidding you. I thought this, I'm going to kill myself after trying so hard all these many years. And this is what they're telling me. I was so angry and so livid until the Holy Spirit rescued me and said, maybe you're going through all the actions, Eva, but it's not yet who you really are. We have to become now, my sisters. I love you. I'm going to just read this thing real quick. God is sending us this message because we're running out of time. This is it. Now is your time. If you're going to get this right with the Lord, it has to be done now daily. It is in the new creation that we will experience covenant with God unleashed in every way. Last point, we must decide if we are in or out, or the path of the true believer. You know what Paul said, people? He said, if there is no Christ and no resurrection from the dead, let's eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. And when you live for eating, drinking, and to be merry, you are not believing that the Lord is coming back. Wake up. Wake up. You're a beautiful virgin, but you're asleep. Wake up. It's got to happen now. It's a process. It's not an event. It's not going to happen like this and you're going to be ready for the rapture. That's not how it works. Come back. I love you with all my heart. I pray you can see the motives of my heart.